Hey, folks, and welcome back to Holy Spirit Soapbox. I'm Dan once again, and I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for joining in, as always, and thank you for sending in prayer requests and encouraging messages. We love you and we appreciate you. Today's really important because we're going to be talking about the dehumanization of human beings. Now, dehumanizing somebody means we view somebody as less than us, even though we're all humans. We were all made in God's image. We're all on the same playing field. But for some reason, we view somebody as lower than us. So we're going to get right into this because this is really important, especially nowadays in 2023 when I'm recording this. But we've talked a lot about pride and how we feel we don't owe anybody anything. Even if we don't owe any man, woman, or child anything here on earth, we do owe God for what he did and still does for us. Now, in order for us to have eternal life, Jesus had to come to earth. And he came to earth in the flesh to die and get resurrected, right? For us, all of us, so that we also conquer death. So we are forever indebted to him. We owe him literally everything. We owe him our lives. Now, in the midst of doing all this, he didn't come here to condemn us, though. When he was here, he didn't condemn anybody. This is John 3:17, right after the worldwide well-known John 3:16. He says, I did not come to condemn you, but the Son of Man came to save you and to serve you. He could have easily come to earth as like this emperor or dictator or something and dehumanize everybody. Basically saying, you know, I made you, so I own you. Do everything I say or else, or all of you are not as powerful as me, and I can literally set you on fire in a second if you don't listen to me and do what I say. He could have done that. He could still do that. But he didn't do any of that as Jesus. He actually humanized us by saying that we are his creation and then offers to now glorify us in the name of Jesus Christ. He does, however, expect us to look to him as the creator and all holy and all powerful God, because he is. I mean, if you were to see literally the creator of the universe in front of you, would you just be like, oh, hey, nice to meet you? No, you'd be like, oh my gosh, like in all your glory and everything that you've done and how probably big you are and how much you can control everything. I'm going to bow down. And that's how we should view him. But it also comes with a little bit of appreciation and contentment, set aside from fear. And Jesus also did something that we never would expect a God to do. Serve us. He served us. He's continuing to serve us because he loves us. And when you dehumanize another person, whether consciously or subconsciously, it is impossible to love them, period. It's impossible to love somebody that you have dehumanized. And I said this earlier, you have now set that person as lower than you. Lower than you. When Jesus said to love others as he has loved us, this means everyone, regardless of their political view, views on specific worldly things, their skin color, their background, their religion, etc. He means everybody. Jesus loves, he loved and loves all type of people, even if they've fallen so far away, what seems like so far away, and oriented themselves away from him. He still loves them. And we are made less than Jesus, okay? We are made less than Jesus because he is God, but Jesus treated us like we're royalty. So who are we to do the opposite? Who are we to treat other people not like royalty, not like Jesus, not like another human being? And listen, I will admit, we're all still human. We are. And I'm still human, and I mess up a lot. The human in us likes to dehumanize other people. We like to divide ourselves for some weird reason because we like to build ourselves up. And I tend to get angry or frustrated with people that believe in maybe other things than I do, or and I even tend to look down on people And the time that I usually look down on people is when I'm driving, if you want me to be honest. If I'm behind somebody who's going under the speed limit or something, I'm like, oh my gosh, like you stink at driving. And then all this anger boils and all this stuff. Like driving is the worst time for me. Okay. But that's my walk with God. I know where I fall short. I'm trying to work on that. I really am. But our goal is to not let the worldly topics get in the way of the spiritual movement. We are not to let the flesh get in the way of the spirit. The Holy Spirit does not bear its fruit in us and through us when we allow the world to get in the way of it as like this wall or this blockade. In fact, the opposite happens when we do that. We have to realize that these ridiculous worldly things that can and may affect us in little ways are no match for God. And they shouldn't come in the way of us loving other people. God gave us a chance to redeem ourselves with Jesus. And those people that you look down upon now may have accepted him, or maybe they will accept him later on in life or something. We should work to encourage everybody, especially as Christians, because when we look down upon other people, it does not accurately represent what Jesus has done for us. It does not represent God's heart at all. Now, he didn't look down upon others, but he made them think. So I know a lot of people are like, okay, what about those that just bash Christians or bash Christ or bash Christianity? Well, he made people think. When the Pharisees and Sadducees continuously condemned him, he gave them the opportunity to think and reach deep inside their hearts with scripture that they knew very well. That gave them an opportunity to start following him and not their ideas of what redemption means or what is redeemable. He did this with like parables and stories that are throughout all four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, if somebody does not believe, that's a different story. Maybe testimonies have to come into play. Treating them well is the first thing. Loving them like Jesus loves us is what we have to always do. When he visited those that probably didn't believe in him, that didn't believe in him at all, like those in Samaria, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees in those surrounding areas, he showed them who God was. He showed them God's heart so they would believe again. And he did this by serving them, not dehumanizing them. Just check out the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verses 4 through 42. He knows this woman. He knows this woman to a T. And explains how much he knows her and explains how much he loves her and that he was there to redeem her. Now, we're not going to get into that today. However, we shouldn't care about one's political views or sports teams, the area they grew up in, even the religious views. All of these things are inherently okay. They're good. Like, if you have a political view, cool, man. If you have a favorite sports team, great. If you have this cool area you grew up in you like to talk about, that's fantastic. And if you have this religious view, let's chat about it. But all these things can lead to us dehumanizing someone else. Now, it's not condemning, however, to say that we Christians are going to heaven. It's not condemning to say that I'm going to heaven. I am. I'm going to heaven. I'm a Christ follower. I believe Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I know that I will have a place in heaven set up for me. He promised that. That's what we see as true. And that's not condemning other people. We just consider this as a fact by what Jesus tells us in John 3:16 or John 5:24. But it is condemning to decide who is going to the other place, though. For those that are not going there, well, if you don't do this, or if you say this, or you do that, then you are going to you know where. It is a little bit safe, and it might be okay to be like, well, there is only one way to heaven. Okay, so there's only one way to heaven. Jesus says it's through him. And if that's the case, maybe another person may or may not be going to not heaven. Okay. But it's not our place to judge them. It's not our place to say that they are going there for sure, because it's not our job. That's not our job. But what we do have to keep doing is we have to keep our eyes on Jesus so that we know we are free in him and we do have eternal life. And in the meantime, we treat all people, regardless if they believe or not, as we would Jesus and how Jesus treated us. For instance, let's think about it. If Jesus walked right up to you today, okay, and he was like, we're in 2023 again, and people wear a certain type of clothes, like very modern clothes, if you want to call it that. And he came up to you and he kind of smelled a little bit and he's a little bit ragged, like his hair was a little messy and like he had dirt on him. He had sandals on and he had this tunic. Would you be like, yo, nice tunic, bro, like, and just dehumanize him and pick on him? If you knew that was Jesus, would you pick on him? Would you dehumanize him? Would you put him down and increase yourself and decrease him? No. No, you would look up to him. You would love him. You may even hug him, even if he stunk, and never let go. So why do we do this with other people when Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40? If you want to grab your Bible, please feel free to. I'm going to read it anyway, but Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40 says this: For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous, who, which is funny, he actually considers these people, I'm taking a break from the Bible here for a second, these people that were not the Pharisees and Sadducees as the righteous, which is interesting because they, everybody saw the Pharisees and Sadducees and these leaders, these Jewish leaders as righteous or self-righteous people, but they saw them as higher up and close to God. But he's actually saying the opposite here. He goes, then the righteous will answer him. This is verse 37. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? None of this really happened, right? This is what they're saying. And in verse 40, he says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, this has a really much deeper meaning to it, but it also interprets as treat everyone like they're Jesus. Like, don't worship them, but love them. Treat everybody like they're Jesus. If Jesus was in front of you, if you saw Jesus and he was the opposite political view as you for whatever reason, would you dehumanize him? No, you love them to the point that they see who Jesus really is. You love everybody. So if somebody's on the other side of the political spectrum for you, if somebody's of a different view, a religious view of you, if they like a sports team that's your sports team's biggest rival on the planet, we can't be like, I hate you. Because that's pretty much like saying, I hate you to Jesus. It is. Because again, we, don't know if that person is saved and will be in heaven with you. We don't know if they will be saved, even if they aren't right now. But regardless, as he says here, when do we see you thirsty or hungry or as a stranger or sick or in prison? When was that? And he's like, listen, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We have gotten to the point that we dehumanize everybody. We really do. Let's sit back for a second. We're dehumanizing waiters and waitresses after church services even, right? We tip them pennies and we treat them poorly as if they're servants to us. We're so torn apart to the point we're dehumanizing children again, born and unborn, and we see them as a nuisance and not a blessing from God. We're dehumanizing women and men where we degrade them down to just their physical bodies and things like pornography and physical relationships outside of marriage. We're dehumanizing cultures because they do things just a little bit different from us. We're dehumanizing people who don't make as much as us in salary or don't have what we have. We have hierarchies, right? We have these classes that we've created. We're even dehumanizing this Christian from that Christian. Well, they're not part of my denomination. and that's not the right one. Or they're not part of a denomination at all. That's not right. They're not part of this church, this building, this group. That's incorrect. And on the flip side, some non-believers are dehumanizing Christians as those who are less intelligent and knowledgeable about science and history, which is not true. What are we doing? What are we doing with our lives to the point that are we that bored that we have to start dividing ourselves and pointing fingers and getting angry at each other and causing this confusion and causing this anger and doing this crazy stuff of and this dehumanizing of everybody? What are we doing? And as Christians, what are we doing with this freedom that we have in Christ? What are we doing as Christ followers? It's time to stop. It's time to decrease the things that divide us by looking at each other as creation by one creator. Now, I know it's very difficult to say this to a non-believer, because if a non-believer does not believe in a creator, I get it, but we can't dehumanize them either way. We, as Christians and as people, as humans, have to start acknowledging the creation by one creator, and we have to worship this one creator. And when we do this, we simply cannot offend anyone else by what we do, and we're actually blameless. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 say this, and this is what we should meditate on this week. I don't have any other verses, so I'm going to read this out loud. Here we go. But in keeping with God's promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. When we give our lives to God and look to treasures in heaven versus admiration on earth and being self-righteous to lift ourselves up while bringing other people down, we are spotless, we are blameless, and we are at peace with the one who matters most, the one who can destroy the body and the soul, Matthew 10:28. As Christians, we should be the ones to reflect Jesus, because it's Him who's doing the work in us, and it's the Spirit leading us. We won't dehumanize others if this is the case, because Jesus does not see your political views, your nationality, your race, your favorite sports team, religion, etc. He doesn't see that stuff. He only knows you as God's creation, as His creation, created to be fully trusting in Him. And if you decide to not follow Christ and allow the Spirit to move or lead you, then He doesn't know you. You're foreign to Him because we choose to separate ourselves from Him. And there's more to come on this with our identity series that's coming up in the near future. Please look out for that, because that is huge. I mentioned this last week. This is huge. And newsflash, guess what? Newsflash, Jesus died on that same cross for that person who has the opposite political views as you, or that baby that's in the womb, or in that other religion or denomination as yours. He died for them too, the same way He died for you. So today, let's be humanized as Jesus was humanized. Humans as vessels for the Spirit to lead others back or closer to our Creator. So now I have a couple questions. Let's dig. Let's really dig. Question number one. This is the big one. What are some ways you might have dehumanized others? Number two, why might you view someone else as lesser than you or one not worthy of love? And then question three, how has Jesus shown you how to be human and led by the Spirit? Thank you so much for joining in today. Thank you so much. I pray that this blesses you. I pray that these episodes are really going to start digging deep into all of us so that we can start getting back to our Creator, so that we can start understanding His heart more and more, so that this world can become better and that more people can start seeking Him, so that we can all live in harmony forever. I want to pray over you right now, and let's close ourselves out. If you can take your prayer posture, whatever it looks like, please do. Let's talk to God. Our God, we look to you for guidance always, because our self-righteousness leads us to dehumanize your creation. We see some of your creation as not worthy of love, even though you died on the same cross for them as us. And knowing this, we want to change. We really want to change God. We don't want to divide ourselves anymore, but we want to all be one under Christ. We all want to be led by your Spirit, so need to understand how to do this by your word. Send that word our way. Continue to send that word our way. Whatever it is we need to hear or read or see today, please let it be so that this can stick with us. We ask that the temptations of division in this world don't take us away from the truth of Jesus the Christ as our Savior. And we pray this in His holy name. Amen.